And he's been known for many years as a blind JFK researcher specializing in intelligence agency involvement in multiple assassinations, propaganda, and other global criminal operations in the 20th and 21st centuries.
Your listeners are extremely fortunate to have you.
And now the most underrated voice in all media.
Chuck O'Kelly! Yeah!
15th day of January 2018, allegedly, according to that thing we call a calendar. And this indeed is the O'Kelly Effect, broadcast live from the facilities of O'Kelly.com. Also heard on multiple networks, including Awake Radio US, RealLibertyMedia.com, our friends at WindowsOnTheWorld.net, etc., etc., and some bootlegging micro broadcasters up in the Northeast. Appreciate all of you. Anyhow, it is a moon day or a Monday, and it is certainly one of those days which we should take a moment of pause before I get into the topic of the night. Why? Because this is Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. I am not going to sit here and lecture you about this. Anybody who knows this show knows very well that I am extremely studied on a lot of the assassinations of the 60s. Dr. King's not any different than the Kennedys or Malcolm X or Medgar Evers or many other individuals who made a difference and thusly, in my mind, had to be silenced. The reality is this. I am not going to even sit here and push at you what the mainstream does about racial discussions when it comes to Dr. King and how this and that and the third thing, because here is the missed message, the thing that is misunderstood by many people. When did Dr. King really become dangerous? When was it that the FBI began a program against him? Well, very early on, because J. Edgar Hoover was just that kind of guy. But when was it really widespread? When did he become really dangerous to the establishment? The moment he started speaking out against the Vietnam War, the moment he started speaking on behalf of the rights of poor people. I did say poor people. I didn't say just black people, okay? I said poor people. The moment that he was speaking out about this, the moment that he was taking, and I don't even necessarily agree with the concept in whole of nonviolence. I am not a violent person. I don't believe it is the answer. But when it comes down to it, I agree a little more with Brother Malcolm when they lay their hands upon you, then you deal with them. However, this is still a man of courage and a man who needs to be sadly memorialized and understood a whole lot better by the general population, and it's not just about the race of politics. In exactly that vein tonight, why is it that I'm doing the show I'm doing? Well, guess what? This is about the rights of people, the way they live. And yes, Dr. King was interested in this kind of thing as well, I assure you. One of the reasons why he was anti-war is because he actually considered the conditions of those who were suffering in Vietnam at the time. Literally moved by that. But anyway, let's get away from international politics, because after all, you know, people in America often believe that they live in an exceptional place where things are so much better and so much more, oh, clean and proper. And you know what? The government takes care of things, they tell us. The government makes it so that you have clean water. The government makes it so you have roads. The government makes it so you have all these wonderful things. Not if you're not watching them, folks. A few years ago, the story of Flint, Michigan certainly splashed across the headlines in the mainstream, alternative media, etc., etc. We were talking about it. Why? Because it was absolutely horrifying that there was undrinkable, unpalatable, unusable water being distributed to, oh, I don't know, somewhere near 100,000 people in a city in modern-day America. And lead was the primary thing that was being talked about. However, over the past couple of years, we've discovered that there's a lot more to it. And here's the thing interesting to me, as I started to study the articles and the releases of individuals who were talking about this a couple of years back, or maybe it was a year ago, you know, it's a little confusing in the breakneck news cycle, and things do get lost so easily. You know, if you turn to it now and you decide to do an internet search, you might find that people are telling you that the situation is, well in hand. It's nothing more than a political issue now. I have two guests with me tonight. First, Mel Joy, who is someone who works with an organization called Flintstock, and I guess she's going to explain that. Also, I have with me Carrie Weber, and I do believe these two ladies are going to explain to us that this is not the case. Anyway, let me begin with Mel Joy, and yeah, it does sound odd, but that is the way she's identified on social media. Mel, how you doing tonight?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Well, you know, outside of the little speech I had to give there, I think I'm doing okay. You know, I don't know because my water hasn't been tested in my area recently, but hey, let's not get into that, or maybe we should. So, Mel, you heard what I had to say about this, about Flint and how it's been sort of forgotten in the news cycle and how if you do attempt to search for it and look for it, the first things you're confronted with are, well, this is all pretty much a done deal. This is pretty much taken care of. It's over with. There's probably going to be some lawsuits, a federal case supposedly being filed. They wanted to go to arbitrators earlier this month as reported by, I think it's Michigan Live is the website that seems to handle a lot of the news up there. But seems to me as though other places in the country, if you mention Flint, they say, oh, that must have been something that was taken care of. Sound right to you?
Yes. Sadly, there are places across the nation who have never heard of the water issue in Flint, and several others that did catch wind, but they think it's all been fixed and taken care of, which is far, far from the case. When it comes to water lines, they're only supposed to be replacing the lead lines, which is crazy to me. Everything should be replaced, the entire infrastructure. So far, they have done about a third of the lead lines. They're trying to say that the water is now safe. You cannot have safe water if you still have the same lines remaining. You know, people are sick, are still getting sick. Many have died from this water. And it's not an isolated incident. It just happens to be someplace that happened to break in the news. I don't know if you'd like me to go through the numbers really quick from my research, but I really, really encourage everybody to test their water, and not just for heavy metals, for bacteria, for contaminants such as arsenic, chloroform. I mean, it's crazy. And this is in everybody's backyard, in one way or another. Michigan alone has got over 70 acknowledged communities as having unsafe water. Nationally, they're guesstimating about 5,000 communities. So this is hitting everybody in one way or another. And it is something that we need to be aware of, that we need to be careful of, we need to be educated on, and we need to fight. Our voices matter. And nothing is going to change until we use them.
Absolutely correct. Now, Carrie Weber's with me. You're right there. You're on the ground dealing with this. Well, as we speak, aren't you? It's all taken care of, right, Carrie? I mean, Flint. Hey, look, that was a thing. It was a news story for a little bit. Everybody's doing well. After all, it was just some bad pipes. Wasn't any other sort of issues, right?
Yeah, if you read the play-by-play that especially our own press here is putting forward, this is a done deal. We're all better. Everybody's drinking tap water. I cannot tell you how ridiculous this is. Like Mel said, not even a third of the lines have been changed, but, and I'm going to double back on her, until they pull the mains, until they pull the very mains that push into the lead lines, If you look at how water runs from your water plant to your home, which 3 years ago, I knew you turned on a tap and you got water. That was my full experience. I can now give you exactly how this works, what chemicals should be in it, because in Flint, we had to educate ourselves in a hurry because literally we found ourselves in a fight for our lives. So number one, everybody has to become educated. Is it exciting? Probably not. But when you're at the point that no one's helping you and you must learn, you make it exciting. And we would get together in groups and work on finding out how water plants work, how the water leaves the water plants and gets to each individual home, and why some homes were worse than others because they're at the end of the water plant delivery system, for example. Our house, and this is how much it's all over in Flint. Just bear this in mind. The city of Flint and state have been very well aware how poisoned my family has been. My husband, my daughter, my other daughter had Legionnaires. All of us have lead. We have buried 3 dogs, all proven lead poisoning. This was, I mean, I had made this aware. I had taken this to state officials. I had sat with them. This was not a secret. And yet we could not get them to come out and change the only lead line we had, and that was on the city side. So in our name, thank God there are people in this world that care, donations were taken up, and good people from Texas and New York and Virginia paid to replace our service line. That is the city's service line, not mine. Ours is already copper. We tested almost a year later. We are still 46.1 parts per billion lead.
Well, wait a minute. Now, 46.1 parts, you know, what does that mean to somebody who has no idea? What is the content of acceptable lead? I mean, if there's so many parts per billion or per million, you know, in the water, I mean, there's an acceptable level, right? What would the acceptable level be?
Well, per the current lead and copper rule that has not been updated now in almost 22 years, and the EPA keeps saying they're going to update that and change that down to 5 parts per level lead. Right now, the current acceptable through the EPA is 15 parts per billion lead. So we are still 3 times the quote-unquote legal limit, and that is with a brand-new copper line.
And all of your neighbors, I'm sure, don't have brand-new copper lines either, do they?
No. In fact, our neighbor, I mean, now, not everybody had the extensive high lead we did. At one point, and when I say 46 parts per billion, yes, that's terrible, but remember, we were running 1,800 parts per billion, 1,300, 1,108 consistently through over 50 tests. Everybody was living in my house because the lead was so consistently high at the point the water was coming from the street. That's how they knew right where it was. We have no lead solder in our home either. They were shocked to find because it was redone in 67, and we have nickel and silver. There is no lead in any of our piping. It is simply coming still from outside of our home.
So wait a minute. Let me get this straight. In your home, there was no lead, but the lead was only coming from the city, and the city, having been made aware that you were thousands of times what they consider, which is kind of strange because, you know, lead, I don't know, lead is not one of these things that I think would be a good thing to get in your water in any amount.
No.
But when you're talking 1,000 times what the EPA deems safe, you know, that, I mean, did I hear you right?
Yeah. No, you heard me right. 1,800 parts per billion lead was found through Michigan State when they tested 2 of our dogs and 2 of our cats in the lead testing program. Now, we never started being tested for lead levels until the switch cracked to Detroit. No one can tell us, because that's after the switch back when supposedly the better water was coming through with orthophosphates. The scariest thing is, what was that number when we were on the Flint River? Because by the time we were tested, they had already been treating this for about 6 months.
Well,
so we have no idea what that beginning number was. It had to have been, all we were told is it had to have been, you know, astronomical, possibly, very possibly, toxic waste level left.
Well, there you go. Now, a lot of people might be saying to themselves right now, well, this is Flint, Michigan. I mean, it's near Detroit. Detroit is, you know, a demilitarized zone at this point. I mean, is this the kind of disrepair that's only in a city or near a city like that or in a state like that? A lot of people are going to think that. But I want to turn back to Mel here real quick, because I have this feeling that you might be able to explain to people that, you know, briefly, they need to consider, because, you know, listen to what Carrie said. They have no idea what the situation was before there was a switch back to some other water supply. I'm willing to bet that most people sitting and listening to this right now in what we used to call the United States of America, have no idea what the levels of anything in their drinking water is, in their, the water that they bathe in, give to their children, their dogs, make their coffee with, etc. You know, Mel, do you think this is something that is only happening in Michigan?
No, absolutely not. Through the research that I have done, as I said earlier, there are over 70 acknowledged communities in Michigan. There are over 5,000 acknowledged communities across the United States. This is everywhere. I mean, there are things that do help play a factor. First and foremost, 100-plus-year-old infrastructure that has not been properly maintained or upgraded. We have lead-soldered lines and mains, and, you know, industry plays a factor. You know, even if there's one crack in any of those lines, you have that cross-contamination coming in. And when you factor in the auto industry, for instance, which, yes, Flint, Detroit, Cleveland, all these different areas, you know, you try to factor in, okay, what consists of the auto industry? You have the paint, you have the steel, you have the plastic molding plants. All of these things are being, they're all near water. I mean, that was the main form of transportation and getting things where to go. So, I mean, it's, our water has been compromised.
Well, Mel, a couple things I want to add to that spectrum you were trying to present about the automotive industry. First of all, there are various types of acid which are utilized to clean and treat metal. There are various types of manufacture of not only plastic but rubber products, which are not natural rubber products, you know, rubber tree gum and this kind of thing. I'm talking about artificially created rubber products, which are generally petrol products of some sort or another. There is the literal use of the petrochemical to begin with for gasoline, oil, things like that. I mean, that's a factor, but hey, let's keep going. You know, vehicles require antifreeze. There are refrigeration systems which were created at that time. A lot of that stuff has now been deemed to be toxic. A lot of the older, you know, what they used to call freons and whatever else that they utilized for refrigeration, for cooling, the manufacture of parts. All this stuff, along with the paint, the primer, the anti-rusting agents, the mere production of these things, and the irresponsible dumping of some of it, also means that you got a lot of contaminated ground all across the area, and indeed that does wind up affecting, well, gee, what? The water sources from which people are drawing from. But also, as you said, the ground that these things are in. So if you have any sort of cracks or cross-contamination, you have a cocktail of chemical, definitely biological elements. But there's also the heavy metals themselves, which obviously we're talking about lead in focus here. But lead is only one aspect of this, right?
Yes. I mean, yes. As I said, for example, with Flint, there has been discovered over 200 contaminants, I believe, found in the water. Half of these contaminants have not even been given to the public for their information, for them to be able to better heal themselves. So they have no idea what they're dealing with. Carrie can probably remember the list far better than I can when we get to that. But, you know, you also have to figure this 100-plus-year-old infrastructure is breaking down. They are continually putting in cleaning agents and down these lines. So you have that breakdown of these lines being fed to us on top of the chemicals they're claiming to clean it. So none of this is good. I realize that they've gone after the lead and copper rule. They could not push at this point with the other contaminants. And I find that very disheartening, honestly, because, you know, whether it's fracking, dumping, whatever, they should all, every aspect of this should be put in consideration, because this is all, I mean, water is life. We need it to survive, and all these things we're consuming.
Right. So, well, let me turn back to Carrie on this part, because here we heard briefly there Legionnaire's disease, which has nothing to do with lead, as far as I know. Maybe I don't know. Lead is one of those things that kind of, you know, assists in destroying the immune system when it's introduced on a constant basis. I know that, but there's a lot more to this here, and there's a lot of other things that are coming into play. And meanwhile, I find it interesting that you said that the information is really not even known exactly how far the spectrum could go when it comes to contaminants. And meanwhile, one thing that neither one of you ladies mentioned at all yet is the normal process by which, you know, water is supposed to be purified and all this other stuff. I am not somebody who appreciates fluoride, to be honest with you. I'm one of those anti-fluoride people too. But I got to say that, has anybody even taken a look at the interactions of these different chemicals and how they're, well, affecting the new lines, the old lines, interacting with these other metals, chemical elements, et cetera, et cetera? I mean, Carrie, what do we know about that in Flint?
There have been universities, and I know, like, for instance, my house, several houses in Flint that had chronic problems, that had people, like, get Legionnaires out of their shower, as well as, like you said, this whole span of God only knows what's here. The water has been sent out, put through just extreme testing, and to let us know what's in most of it. Now, does that still cover everything? No. It's like $25,000 testing. So to try to do that in every house in Flint, forget America, isn't going to happen. The Legionnaires, what brought that about? There are certain times of the year, for example, when it's very warm out, rivers are far more stagnant. They change composite by the hour, sometimes quarter of the hour. And when they switch just off Lake Huron, which is a pure lake, and to the Flint River, in no way was Flint even close to, or the MDEQ or the EPA, treating that water. The MDEQ gave the go-ahead to get it up and run, and they told them they didn't need phosphates, and that's what put us in this jam. Once they left the phosphates out of the water, that orthophosphates, if you think about it, it puts a gel-like substance on the inside of your pipes to actually compartmentalize your water from that lead line. And it has worked for years, and it's proven it works. It's not the best idea. We've got to get the lead lines out everywhere because we are 100 years into these systems. And some of them in Flint weren't built for 50 years. But what happens when they did the chlorine burn to try to get rid of the bacteria that was showing up? They wound up giving us total trihalomethates in our water. That, if you ingest for a period of time, causes cancers, breathing problems, and they failed to inform us for 5 months. Everything Flint did, they did in steps. First, they stopped the corrosion control. Number one thing, everybody gets water reports in the mail. You should get them quarterly. I do believe that is a national standard. If anybody else is like me, I always threw them away. Don't ever throw those away. Go through them, look up the chemicals, make sure there's something in there listed as corrosion control. Could be an orthophosphate. There's several different kinds they use, but if you Google that name, it should tell you it's an orthophosphate. When you take that away, then what starts happening is you start getting just big potholes inside of those pipes that release every bacteria trapped underneath them and the lead of the pipe. So that was happening as we came into the warm seasons, as we came into them not being able to correctively treat the Flint water as far as keep the bleach levels, the chlorine levels good they were either way too high or way too low. They threw everything or nothing. And that's when Legionnaires started cropping up. Well, they did not tell us. They did not admit the Legionnaires until January of 2016. They have admitted 12 people have passed. However, the uptick they show was 97 people, four times the normal in Flint, had Legionnaires between 14, 15, and 16.
You mean between 2014, 15, and 16, right?
Yep. Yes, okay. Those 3 years. And 15, obviously, that was our worst year because that time we had summer and fall. The first year we without, it didn't destroy everything quite as fast. There was still an uptick. 15 was just horrid for Legionnaires.
Well, you know, it is strange. A listener in the chat brings up the idea that they've only ever heard about Legionnaires disease being transmitted through things like ventilation systems. Stuff like that, airborne. But how is it that it gets transferred? I mean, obviously, I mean, how do you avoid being exposed to the water in a community, right? Think about it for a moment. You don't. you just don't.
Right.
So
one of our hospitals did have a huge problem with it that they didn't tell. They were actually at one point at both city hospitals bathing babies with bottled water. The water was that unsafe. But we were not being told.
So some people seem to know, but the majority of the population was not informed. Is that sound right to you?
Exactly. Some of the the one hospital, McLaren, it's all over out there. I'm not telling their secrets. They knew they had a Legionella problem in the building. When the CDC did come here and talk to my daughter, Stephanie, who had Legionnaires at 20, they tried to find any large building, hot tub, pool, anywhere they could put her. And she had been nowhere but at home in the shower. And what had happened at that point, because of the total trihalomethanes, everybody had cut back on their showers 5 minutes as cold as you could stand, except for my 20-year-old. She was still taking very hot showers, and Legionnaires, you get that through inhaling the vapors of the germ. You inhale it out of the shower. Usually hot water, unless you're like on a breathing machine, that could do it as well, like a CPAP machine. But typically, you inhale it, and it's from the condensation of warm or hot water.
So pretty much like getting yourself a snoot full of steam if the water was contaminated and then turned into steam. This is how it was transferred, basically, right?
Yes. And it was, she's not the only one that got it at home. She was the second or third confirmed, depending who you ask. CDC said she was a second. Michigan Department of Health and Human Services said she was a third confirmed outside of the hospital. But there were others behind her, too. And when water sits too long, it becomes a field day for bacteria.
Well, right.
And so we have water not moving well through our system. We have no corrosion control to protect what's coming off the pipes. And the Legionnaires flourished. Just flourished. Now, I also tried to, in 2015, I approached Genesee County Health and Human Services. I wanted our home tested for Legionnaires. This was just after Stephanie, just after we had found out she had had it. They told me if I called them on Monday, they could give me the contact information for the businesses that would do that. It would only cost me between $200 and $500.
Okay. What happened?
And that's what I mean when you can't wait for somebody else to come in, and they weren't offering it to anybody, and they knew we had.
Wow.
So I wound up being tested actually through two of the universities that were testing at the time. I could not afford that.
No, understandable.
And that's where all this starts. This is a very poor community.
Right. Well, look, that's the other thing to consider here is, you know, well, gee, just go get your water tested. It's not the cheapest thing in the world to do. And besides that, what are you going to test it for? You have to run specific tests for specific things. I want to talk more about the lead, and I'm going to go back to Mel on this real quick. I mean, for people that don't necessarily understand what lead can do, I mean, I've mentioned it on this show and talked about how this increases the levels of violence in a community, and causes cognitive dysfunction, but it's also, you know, just simply poisonous to people and could take their lives depending on the level that it's at and it's being introduced to them constantly. I mean, if you're drinking lead-filled water, I mean, especially at the levels that Carrie was describing constantly, I mean, this is the kind of thing that could start to shut down things like liver and kidneys. I know this, but what else do we need to know about these lead levels? And, gee, just as a side question, were there any other heavy metals involved here that anybody's tested for or knows about? And again, I say, this is Flint, sure, but what do you know about your water? You, the listener, not the two ladies on the line with me. they obviously know a bit of something about this. I'm asking you, listening to me, what do you know about your water? Do you know anything? Did you bother to look at any of those reports that are occasionally handed out in some places? Did you take a look at the chemical levels? Did you take a look at any of them? And besides that, do you even trust them? Has there been an independent examination of what it is being distributed? Again, to all of you, you know, you don't care about your neighbors, fine. Do you care about your children? You don't care about your children, you don't have any? Do you care about your pets? Do you care about anybody else, or do you care about yourself? How about you check one of those boxes and you think to yourself for a moment that you might want to consider what's in the water? Mel, back to it, though. I mean, what do we need to know about lead? I mean, how bad could it be, right? People have been drinking it for a long time, looks like, in a lot of places. Well, lead can't be that bad for people, can it?
Well, I actually want to kind of go back to you mentioning the fluoride. Fluoride has been proven to intensify the effects of the lead and heavy metals.
What a surprise.
So, I mean, that's a scary thought in itself. And when you're tested for lead, your blood work will show lead levels up to about 30 days. And, you know, it drops off. The thing is that even though we consume these heavy metals, they do not excrete from our body. What they do is they try and they home themselves in our bone marrow and our soft tissue and our brain. From reading, we've tried and we're guessing that the community of Flint, the water that they've consumed is looking to affect the next five generations. It does affect your brain. It does increase the cancer rates have shot up in the area, tumors, cognitive issues, just like you were saying. It affects mostly, I mean, the worst effects go for children and the elderly. So you have an entire new generation of children that are, yes, they're having the ADD, the ADHD, PTSD. I mean, I think the whole community probably has PTSD, to be honest. But the aggression, can't concentrate, memory issues, learning disabilities. So this has tremendously affected this community in every way possible. From what I have read, a woman can lower her lead levels. Sadly, it is through childbirth because that lead is transferred from that mother's body onto a child. I'm sorry, I would... Soon as I found out that I had any exposure, I would not want to have children. I mean, I would not want my child to endure that. It's hard enough as somebody who's already here. It's hard enough for a child that one day is perfectly fine and the next day is a completely different person. We're having a lot of serious issues. As for testing what you would test for or some of the metals that have been found, uranium's been found, copper, I believe, I want to say mercury, all on top of lead. None of these things are normally something that we should consume. We shouldn't consume it. There is no safe level of lead. Copper, I know there's some safeties because you have it in multivitamins and that. But hell, even as kids, we were told, you know, with thermometers, if you break it, don't touch it, you know, it'll hurt you. But yet it's being given to us. It's in our water. So I'm sorry. And I you asked like a multitude of questions at once. So I hope I answered that area a little bit.
No, I appreciate it. I wanted to give a wide berth to both of you to speak on this topic because, quite honestly, there's a lot to consider here. And, yes, indeed, you're right. I mean, copper to a degree is not the worst thing. But these other metals that we're talking about here, when combined with fluoride, which most municipalities in this country are still utilizing fluoride, guess what that does? It actually creates a vehicle by which these heavier metals can travel directly through the blood-brain barrier. And I don't know if you've ever taken a look at what any heavy metal does on a microscopic level to brain tissue. It wreaks havoc is what it does. So the fluoride is an excellent carrier for these things. I mean, you'd almost think somebody did that on purpose, but I'm not going to go into that right now because, you know, it could get real ugly real fast. But you guys can speak for yourselves about this. I want to hear from Carrie, though, about the concept of not only the lead, what does lead do to people, but also what do you know about other metals and the existence of those in the water supply there?
Well, one thing they found heavy in our water time and time again, and I had to research this one because I will admit I was never a science student. I have never been more involved in science than I turned at 45 years old when I suddenly became a scientist. Cadmonium. We had huge influxes, like frightening influxes of cadmonium, huge, in our water all the time. Now, we had shut it down. We weren't drinking it or cooking with it. But there again, we were a year and 5 months after the fact. Well, it's a whole lot of too late.
If somebody never heard of that before, what is that that you're talking about was in your water? I mean, can you describe what it is, what it does?
It's another heavy metal. It does link itself and attach itself to lead, making it more viral if you have enough. So you have to have a certain level. I think it's over 300 parts per billion. We were at 30,000 parts per billion at one point.
Mm.
So I am not certain. I mean, and I know what Mel's saying, and she's spot on. And the sad thing has been, and please, please, nobody think I'm an ogre. My kids are little ones too. And I hate what's happening to the little kids. And it has destroyed me in many, many long nights. However, because my daughter was poisoned at 15. Who? And my husband at 45. They don't get help. They do not get help. Because the state of Michigan is only dealing with kids 6 and under. Even the kids that were 4 when this started are now over 6. And they're getting dropped off to help. This is real. And I was told by the top of the state government, Richard Baird, Mike was simply too old to qualify for any kind of program. They were given all of his medical bills, holding $10,000 in medical just for his lead poisoning that led to uncontrollably high blood pressure, that caused an eye stroke and a loss of the third of the vision in one of his eyes. But he was too old. They're trying to convince the world and the city of Flint this only affects children under 6. And going back to what Mel said, when Victoria was told at 15 she had lead lines throughout her entire body, every growth plate, including her jaws. They can't see her wisdom teeth because there's actual lines of lead that are in the bone that block any view of her teeth. They can't see them at all. They've got a quarter of one tooth they can see.
Hang on a second. I want to make this extremely clear. What you're telling me is that this is your daughter, right?
Yes.
So your daughter has so much lead in her body that it is literally blocking the X-ray from being able to create an image of her wisdom teeth.
and any growth plate. Her ankles, because she was still growing, her ankles, they found them throughout her rib cage, her spine, anywhere you have a growth plate. She has a finite, and I mean, you can see them clear as day, line of blood. And then on top of that, and possibly through stress, because can you imagine at 15 she got stressed? She wound up, this has now affected her liver. And all we have is wait and watch. She will be 18 this month. And like Mel said, I sat with my 16-year-old. Sorry.
No, it's okay, Carrie. Take your time. I mean, you know.
She researches everything, too. And when she found out this could go down to her great-grandchildren, she decided not to have to. At 16, this should not be a thought, a worry. But that's how they've left this whole community. And as far as Mike, they still can't control his blood pressure. It's better. It's only 159 over 120. But that's how 4 blood pressure pills, 8 pills a day. And the man had no problem until he got lead poisoned. And this hit our family June of 15. Then Stephanie was sick August, September, October, November, December of, or November of 15 with Legionnaires. We find out, we're finally informed in December, she had had Legionnaires. Her doctor didn't even get a phone call. She got a letter from the CDC saying, oh, by the way, that was Legionella. Sorry. And then my husband was at the computer one morning and lost complete vision in his right eye. And he had had his major artery behind his eye had just exploded, and it bled for a total of 9 months before it quit.
This is the impact that we're talking about with, you know, and again, a range of different ages here. Your husband's in his 40s. You're talking about your teenage children. We have obviously addressed what this would do to babies, by the way. Again, just going across the board, babies do not, until they are about 3 years of age, do not have adequate protection from this kind of damage. So literally this stuff goes straight into their brains when they're exposed to it. Heavy metals do that. I've discussed that on this show regarding flu shots. But again, you know, mercury, lead, any metal which is introduced into the body in these amounts causes significant damage neurologically. And again, as Carrie was describing, I mean, this affects all of the systems of the body, including those which would be the filtration, you know, your liver, your kidneys. I am sure that lungs can be affected. I don't know what it does to the heart, but it cannot be good. This is just the horrific condition. And meanwhile, again, as I said, you know, a lot of people figure, well, look, you know, it's terrible, it's sad, but this has already been taken care of. Well, seems to me as though both of you described to me, and I've heard elsewhere, that there are still people desperately looking for water which is not contaminated in that area, and it's still being delivered in bottles to some people, but not as many as it was. You know, seems like, okay, maybe the state has decided they're going to help out some of the younger children if they're under the age of 6 or they're under the age of, I think it was 6, Carrie said, then it's okay. But other than that, gee, I guess there's probably some disabled people there. There's some older people there. There's just people of all ages there that still need water. Mel, are they getting it?
10% of the community was being served when the water stations were in full force. I believe it's down to about 2,500 individual families now. Carrie is the one on the ground. She is personally delivering water to 50-plus families, homebound, elderly, things like that. We are looking at sometime this month, we've not been given a date, that these water stations will be closed. They have dropped the stations down to four. If anybody's read in the media, they're called water pods, but I did recall to say stations for better understanding. I did want to step back really quick on what Carrie was saying regarding the doctors and stuff. Several times over, I have heard people telling me that their family doctors, the hospitals, you know, specialists in that, as soon as they realize that a person has been exposed to this water, they are refusing treatment. They are telling them, you know, giving one excuse or another, but they are not treating these patients, which is absurd. I mean, that is under their oath to care for the sick, and it's not happening. The city, the community has completely had their backs turned on.
Right. Now, just for the listeners' understanding, I mean, Flint is a city of slightly less than 100,000 people, if I understand the population statistics, which means that you were telling me that maybe 10,000 out of that 100,000, let's just use round numbers, were actually being serviced clean water through these pods or water stations. Now we're talking about maybe 2,500 altogether. And that is the situation. The water is maybe somewhat improved here and there, but is not still at the safe levels. I mean, am I misunderstanding something here, Mel?
And no, you are completely understanding that correct. And it was actually just in the news that the state is considering giving some control back to the city. So it has been in the state control all this time to be able to care for the citizens that they represent. And they have been failing miserably. I said, not enough stations, not enough water. They have limited the water being passed to residents now to four cases a week. Now imagine that you're a family of three. Four cases a week. Now you have got to cook with this. You've got to bathe with it. You've got to consume it. There is no way. I mean, I know of some families that go through three or four cases a day, and they are being expected to live off of four cases a week. There is a lot of work that needs to be done, a lot of help that is needed. We need to fix this situation. There's no excuse for it.
Well, absolutely correct. Now, Carrie, I just wanted to give you a moment to pause there so you could compose yourself a little bit, because you were getting a little upset, and that's why I turned to Mel there. But and honestly, I mean, how could you not, considering the situation? But in the face of the fact that your family is basically under attack by biochemical agents which have been introduced into your home through your water system, you're holding it together real well. So I appreciate that you're still with us and doing this. I need to ask you, though, she said that you're on the ground in the face of that, still delivering water to your neighbors, still trying to help others, while, quite honestly, those that are supposed to be there to represent you and to look out for you are not doing their job. I wonder if you would kind of explain to people what it is you're doing and how this is working. Or not, should I say, because quite honestly, you know, you and whoever else is out there in these water stations, I mean, if only a fraction of the community is being served, well, that leads me to wonder in my own mind what's happening to the rest.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I know three people other than myself that are delivering water. That doesn't mean there's not more. I just may not be aware of them. When this first came loose in 2015, and, you know, we were getting the huge donations of water, I could go and fill my van up. We found out my van will hold 123 cases with all seats down. And my daughters and I would go into an entire neighborhood where we knew there was a lot of elderly people or folks that were sick or didn't have vehicles, because that happens a lot here in Flint. and we would pass this water out for days. And then the pods open. I could still go in, get 30, 40 cases of water. I could go back more than once a day, and I could fill up my folks. Now, I've gone from servicing about 25 to I just picked up number 60, but well, Mel wouldn't have known that it happened yesterday. Here's the issue at hand now. Now, if you drive through the pod, you can only get 8 cases per home. Now, when this first started, I could go with 2 addresses, and I could get 16 cases because I'm delivering to multiple people daily. Then, see, right around December 22nd, new rules came across at the pods or the water stations that in order for you to pick up for 2 households, you have to have 2 people in the car. I mean, I've got the addresses. They know they're good addresses, but this is one more way they're shutting us down. I have tried talking to those at the head level of water distribution to see if I can do anything to set up a small team of 4 to fill up as needed on a schedule to deliver to these folks. I can't even get a positive answer on that. And the folks I'm delivering to are the ones that are getting 4 a day, are the ones that, like us, did not have money to buy bottled water, so we drank it. So these are the very people I'm trying to help, and yet every step we go, they make it that much harder, but they are not helping them either. We had 2 Mondays in a row, holidays, Christmas Eve and New Year's Day. The folks that got delivered to on Mondays went 2 weeks without water because nobody in the water delivery group thought they probably should stop in a different day. So that put us in a bind trying to get enough water out to cover these people that were skipped by our state and city. This is their job, not mine. But I had told my kids and my husband, I know these pods are going to shut. We know this is coming. They have given all the hints. They're saying, you know, we're within the 90th percentile for lead and copper, which is all you have to be in. But if Flint has 30,000 water customers, I think it's a little more than that. The 90th percentile still leaves you, what is it, 3,000 houses that have bad water. So think about that. But if you're under the lead and copper rule, if you're in the 90th percentile, and this is something people have to know, it's okay. Your house may be as high as it can be, but 90% of your communities are right, so they do nothing. That is actually how that bill is written. And it's got to change. This happened in D.C. from 02 to 07, and that got denied horribly for years. I think the last lawsuit for that settled last year.
Well, that's a horrendous standard, actually, because what you're telling me is effectively 1 in 10 homes, no problem. If they're being toxified, right. If they're being poisoned to death, oh, well, it's acceptable. Well, gee, I guess everybody likes to play roulette with their families because they're hoping that they don't land in that 1/10, you know, area there, I guess, right?
And that's what we've said here with ours being 46.1 parts per billion. Yes, we have the filter on. No, I'm not going to play Russian roulette with water. We did it enough. We gave enough to their experiment. We're done. We will not.
No, and I certainly...
Something I would like to say here...
Yes, please.
...is that is the 90th percentile for the lead and copper. That has nothing to do with the other contaminants. So...
Right.
That's something else to keep in mind. You know, that's one of those little political stipulation things that, oh, okay, well, we're following the guidelines for this, but we're not even going to tell you, and we're going to make you believe that everything is okay for everything else that is coming into your home.
Exactly. And New Year's Day at 1:30 Michigan time, because I was in California, I got a very hysterical phone call from Victoria. She had been told by Mark Edwards and Miguel del Toro, two people she trusts beyond belief, it's better to bathe in this water than shower it because you aren't getting the vaporization. So that's what Vic's been doing because, yes, to say she has PTSD would be kind on any given day. All of a sudden, as she had filled up the water, she noticed this white, slimy, chunky crap all over the tub. All over the tub. So I immediately, thankfully, we had a few extra bottles here. It was coming out of every one of our taps because I had to check them all. You know I did. She had caught me literally standing next to the tub, hysterical, because she doesn't know what this is. And you know how you get just a little film of milk on the bottom of a cup and you put hot water and it raises?
Yeah.
That's what this looked like.
So what you're telling me is that there's a soupy-looking, white, gooey kind of substance that might be like milk on top of a hot tea, let's say, like curdled milk on top of hot tea, is coming out of the faucet into the bathtub and is floating on top of a bath she's drawn.
Absolutely. And I've got pictures of it because she sent it to me. It was our kitchen faucet. It was our basement faucet. It was both sinks in the bathroom and the bathtub.
Well,
those have been sent out to be tested.
Let me cut to the chase on that. What in the hell is that? Because that's
we have
not
no
lead.
Real idea.
You have no idea.
We don't know if it's something innocuous, like calcium chloride that will float up like that sometimes. It may be just fine, but when you've been through what we've been through, you watch your water. And it's weird. I was finding myself in California watching the water fill up before I added soap to do dishes because I am that paranoid of how water appears. Stephanie, we can be anywhere, including U of M Ann Arbor Hospital, and she will stick her head into a sink and smell the water for chlorine because that's the other issue. And I'm glad I came back to that. We had no chlorine in our home for 15 months we know of. Without chlorine, you don't kill bacteria. You don't kill bacteria. You get things like Legionnaires, Pontiac disease, which is the same kind of thing as Legionnaires, just not as bad. Because Flint is, like I said, they're all or nothing. They had hit such a chlorine burn, they caused the TTHMs. They finally told us 5 months later when it was pushed from the state level. So then they didn't use any chlorine. It's just all or nothing.
Oof.
So then, and they weren't using chlorine. I mean, we went the entire summer and fall, our very hottest months, and I mean hot, like 104 even hot, with no chlorine in our water.
So plenty of time for anything bacterial, biological, to fester real nice and to grow and germinate and do whatever it is that does. I forget what the proper term is, but it evolves bacteria. Like the bacteria, I mean, and who knows even what the bacteria, all sorts of bacteria is here could be involved. I mean, this white sludge is really disturbing, and it's not the only place I've heard of it, to be honest with you, but it is really bizarre, and especially coming off of the fact that you know what's going on with your water on some level. Quite honestly, after a large storm in an area where I used to live in New Jersey, right, the water filtration was all shut down, and not everybody got the message, don't use the water for a little while, just drain out the lines because you don't even know what's sitting in there. And that's, you know, what, it was shut down for a week, you know, things were not functioning properly for a week. This is way, way beyond, you know, rust and dirty water and things like this. This is well beyond it. And it's just a really disturbing story altogether. But meanwhile, as I said, most people would think, well, gee, the whole situation in Flint's been taken care of. But you're not telling me that things have been improved. As a matter of fact, it sounds like they're shutting down the help that is there for even the fraction of people it was helping. And quite honestly, there's still a lot of unanswered questions, and who knows what new things are going to come up. Because, hey, look, they addressed the lead, or at least partially, but not really. And meanwhile, the water source and whatever else is actually happening is ongoing, because you're not telling me that this happened last year. You're not telling me that this is all fine now. You're not telling me you're right. Telling me that as we speak, there is still water being delivered, and there is still a need for it among the majority of the population there. And even in the best case scenario, they're telling you, well, you know, gee, now it's 1 in 10 of you are probably getting toxified, so that's acceptable. I don't find it acceptable. And we're going to continue this discussion in the next hour. Meljoy, and also Carrie Weber, who has been through a hell of an ordeal. I am sure that her story, although it is unique in her mind to her, I bet you that there's a lot of these stories still ongoing in Flint that nobody is paying attention to. And that's not the case here. We're going to continue this discussion in the next hour on the Ocelli Effect. And you know what? It is absolutely unacceptable that this is the state of affairs that we are faced with in this country. And quite honestly, human beings should not be confronted with these sorts of conditions. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold. Silver. The stock market. WallStreetWindow.com. The brilliant author of The War State brings you exclusive reports about the big changes upcoming in the markets. WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now. Go there now. Go there now.
About goddamn time they wake up. Hell, I've been talking about this since 1959, about the corruption, the incredible lies, deception of the entire superstructure of Western civilization, and the incredible treason, lunacy, lies, deception. It's just amazing how much has been done in the past 100 years to the human family.
That was Jolden Maxwell on the Ocelli Effect. For more pods with Jolden and Chuck, search Ocelli.com, along with hundreds of other shows and topics as presented by Chuck Ocelli on Ocelli.com. Thanks for listening.
What?
Second hour of the Ocelli Effect begins now here at Ocelli.com. Going to get right back into the discussion of the evening, which, believe it or not, is still Flint, Michigan. Right, that's a story you heard about before. If you didn't hear in the first hour what went on, then you've got to go back and get the podcast and check it out, or check it out on the 24/7 stream at Ocelli.com, because this show will be in heavy rotation. My guests tonight are Mel Joy from Flintstock, which is a web-based organization. We're going to hear a little bit about that. And also Carrie Weber, who is somebody who is on the ground, not only experiencing the harsh effects of what is actually going on regarding the water situation in Flint, Michigan, but is also out there doing her level best to help a good number of her neighbors, which, you know, what else are you going to ask for out of a human being exactly except to survive, help others survive, and attempt to thrive? So we are going to get into some solutions in this hour, talk about what it is people could do for their own communities, for their own well-being. But before we do that, it seems as though Flint is still in a precarious position. And Mel, where is it that people can go to learn more about what's happening, possibly chip in, help out, spread the word, et cetera? What is it that they can do?
Water, volunteers, people who want to come out to the community, help distribute water. For my organization, Flintstock, I have put on events and shows to help spread awareness and to educate, and to have, we collect water and needed supplies at our events. You can visit our website at www.flintstock.org. We are also on Facebook under Flintstock, as well as Flintstock 2016. There are several good individuals I would highly, highly suggest, because there's been so much money donated to the community. Unfortunately, the community has not seen this money. So find a trusted organization, whether it would be mine or something else. Please do your research. Look and see where these funds are going, because we need to help the citizens, not the board or the officials. We need to help the people.
Well, right. Much like here's the thing about when people reach out to some of these causes on occasion, they tell you, you know, donate to, let's just not even name an organization. I won't anyway. You guys can. But one of these large organizations, and you donate under the auspices of helping out a particular situation, that doesn't mean that that organization absolutely applies it to the issue that you've sent it for, in a lot of cases. Some of these larger, you know, some of them global, some of them national, who are supposed to be out there helping everybody, seems like. I mean, sure, you've done some good somewhere, but you probably didn't get it directed at the exact thing that you had in mind. So, Flintstock is all one word, flintstock.org, first of all. Second of all, if you just enter the word Flintstock and search on Facebook, I'm very sure that they will find you and your organization as well. And there's information there. Certainly putting on events which would benefit people is a great way to go. Is there anything else that you would suggest? I want to ask Carrie, is there anything else you'd suggest if somebody's hearing this and they wish to help the people in that community directly? I mean, what else would you suggest they do?
The biggest issue we have is the water. Like I said in the last hour, we are so limited on what we can do to help people, those that are homebound. And these are the disabled, the elderly, those with small children that either don't have a vehicle or their spouse works 6 days a week. When the pods are open, they can't get water. Water is what we need. The amazing thing I have found, and this has been all around me, I have had four people step up and offer to help me deliver water, which is a beautiful thing. However, all four people are disabled, and we need someone to be able to go with them to actually haul the water. And I've been putting that call out there since 2015. And I've gotten to where I do what I can on my own. But able bodies, you know, the days of us getting trucks of water to distribute have long gone. I've tried negotiating with water companies to get donations. They feel they already gave, and as we pointed out, everything's okay now anyhow. The best I can promise to do, any funds raised, I am more than happy. I will work with, I've got a store here I can work with personally to get them at a to get cases of water at a reduced rate and would provide all receipts. I have never, ever, never taken a penny for water delivery, including those I deliver to. I will not take money for that. This is something I do because of it's just who I am.
A quick question to both of you, though. Outside of going to the water companies, have you also considered going to some of the bottling companies that are not necessarily known for water? I mean, it's just an idea that popped into my head. So, you know, you've probably already done this. But just out of curiosity, you know, we saw that there were beer companies that turned around and sent water to Houston when water was in short supply after a natural disaster. Excuse me. We saw that. I mean, have you considered going to soda and beer companies and bottlers, you know, that are in the state of Michigan and ask them if they would also contribute to this in some way? And if so, what was the response like? If not, do you think that there's other organizations like that, companies that could use it? Hey, look, for one of those wonderful tax write-offs or whatever it is that could somehow, you know, be of help here on a larger scale, because you said the trucks are not coming with the water any longer. That to me, again, is horrific. You know, hey, look, it's already done. It's over with. I get it. But perhaps is there a way to approach some of those companies, Mel? Or either way, I'll start with Mel, but go over to Carrie afterwards.
Yes, I have reached out to the regular bottling companies, to water companies, you name it. And either I do not get a response whatsoever. I've had a couple try and say, oh, well, we're helping through this store or that store. We can't do any more. Or just flat out no's. So that we're kind of at a loss with that. We don't really know what else or how else to do it.
Right. Carrie, what were you going to say?
I have found the exact same. We helped in the beginning. We sent X many cases, X thousand mini cans. And, you know, we're not just trying to leech extra. And I've tried explaining it all, that I can't, even just trying to be a good citizen, and I know other good citizens that I'm aware of delivering had the same exact problem I do, because they just keep cutting us down on what we're allowed to have. I miss the days I could get 50 cases and just deliver 25 to each person, because what that did for my rotation and everybody else's, that gave me about a two-week rotation. You have to remember, in the midst of trying to deliver water, we spent a great amount of time in medical appointments, especially down in Ann Arbor. So I can't do this 6 days a week. It's, you know, so it's just getting so hard. If we had some place we could go, and I'll run a store space, anything we need, I'll pay for that out of pocket. I have no issue with that. But if we had some place we could just stock up water and hold it there, I have no problem providing receipts for anything spent right back to Mel, and every penny can be accounted for online. There is nothing in this for me except for helping the community of Flint, every single resident I can get to.
But this
exactly.
would
I mean that,
this includes, I'm sorry, I want to just make a very serious point here. You have also obviously approached the most local, let's just say, bottling people and beverage people to see if they would participate. I mean, in other words, people who might be actually serving this to the communities from which their workers are coming from, you know, where they're getting their tax breaks from, et cetera, et cetera. What you're telling me is that even the local end of this is not helping. Now, here's why I'm pounding on this point. A lot of people say that it will be the businessmen in the community will help out when, you know, these things go wrong. You know, the government will help out when these things go wrong. Thus far, what I'm hearing is you got a little bit of help from both, and now they're backing away, and the situation has not been rectified. It has been improved, and the news says it's all good. So guess what? It's over with, and there's no more helping hand for anybody, regardless of the fact that, again, I still find it extremely disturbing that 1 in 10 homes could potentially be, you know, overrun with just heavy metals, for instance, you know, and we still don't know what this sludgy crap is. But still,
right,
this is the situation, and, well, you know, you're on your own now. I mean, am I hearing you right, or is there something I missed?
No, you are hearing completely correctly. I have reached out to some of the bigger manufacturers and was told, well, unless there is a state of emergency, unless the big organizations such as United Way or Salvation Army, they are the only ones who can make this call. Even being a 501, I mean, we make absolutely no money from this. This is all being done out of our own pockets because it's the right thing to do. So, I mean, we've tried to call in for water trucks. We've tried to call in for mobile shower units. Everything that we can conceive of contacting to try to help this community, and we are just being shut down left and right. It's something they expect to either be at a national level, a nonprofit level, of something very well established. Like I said, I was told several times it has to either be Salvation Army or it has to be United Way. And then, of course, the local government has that power as well, and it's not being done.
Well, here you go. Look, the United Way and these kind of organizations, again, you know, see my comments earlier about a large organization taking in money and not necessarily directing it at exactly what they were collecting it for. But that is my editorialization. I'm not attaching it to you guys. One would also wonder, speaking of 501c3, you know, what are the churches doing in this area? I'm assuming that there are churches and, you know, things like that in Flint, Michigan, and around Flint, Michigan, and throughout the state. Are they participating, or are they, you know, overwhelmed also?
Oh, I would love to handle that one.
Sure.
Yeah.
I would. Prior to the state giving up the water pods, and when the state turned them over to the city back in October, and the city said, oh, my God, we had no idea it was coming, but everybody in the city had known it was coming for a month. So this is part of our issue already. Prior to that, several churches were stocked with water. You could go get water at these churches all the time. Woodside has been the most tremendous church here in town. Another one was Bethel Methodist. They have been so supportive. However, when the city took over, the churches, a select few, and they happen to be the group of the concerned pastors, are now being actually paid to deliver the 4 cases of water to each homebound person. They are no longer distributing inside the church. They do no longer have water for free, but they are being paid through the city to deliver the shutdown to 4 cases from 10 these folks used to get. So, no, we lost the churches too.
Wow. Okay.
Wasn't real, it would almost be funny. But this is very real.
is being proven and time, most and people, time and time again.
Yeah, go ahead, Mel.
Sorry. It is just being proven time and time and time again that money is more important than life.
Yes.
At every level. And it's a very sad state that we live in.
Well, outside of, again, helping, this is just, I wrapping your mind around this is just very difficult, especially considering, like I said, if I would have walked out in at random to somebody on the street today and asked them what they know about the water situation in Flint, they probably would have said nothing, given me a strange look, or said, "Well, that was something that happened a couple of years ago." They wouldn't have any idea that this is ongoing. They wouldn't have any idea that, hey, look, the process by which they said they took care of a lot of these things has kind of broken down. I mean, again, this is me editorializing here. Despite your best efforts, I'm not criticizing you, Mel, or you, Carrie. Obviously, you're doing the level best you can, but these larger organizations, these larger corporations, these larger 501c3 tax-exempt organizations, seems to me as though they have just cut, you know, They've just cut. I forget what the term is here, but they've just kind of cut and run on this. Yeah, and still there are people in the equation here. There are human lives being affected on a daily basis by what? Oh, gee, you know, are they asking for designer clothes to be delivered because they're not willing to, you know, go out and get them for themselves? No. Are they asking for free things, you know, because they wish to have new cell phones, cars? Is this what they're at? No, they're asking for one of the basic elements of life, which, you know, as of this date, had been provided for a fee, by the way. This is another thing to consider. I mean, I'm assuming that a lot of people paid their water bills, you know, in the Flint, Michigan area. You paid for this, so it's not like it was given by the charity of the government and the companies that were doing this. Excuse me, they were providing a service for a fee, and when it turns out that their service was poison, really haven't gone out of their way to fix the situation. And even though it has been made a bit better, it's not fixed. And people are still going to get sick, and people are sick, and this is the situation. I mean, I'm not trying to yell at you guys. You understand that. I'm yelling out of frustration because I'm saying to myself, on every level here, this is what you're reporting to me, and this is absolutely unacceptable. I don't see how it is that anybody is sleeping at night who has a hand in this. I don't get it. I don't get it at all.
You know.
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't either, Chuck. And I've said that if I thought in my mind I had ever harmed one child, I can promise you I would not still be standing here because I couldn't handle it. 100,000 people, and they're walking around cocky and smug, and like this is just, oops, no big deal. And they're still behaving. Some of them, currently on trial, are still behaving like this in the courtroom.
Well, yeah, see, that's
it is disgusting.
Yeah. Please go ahead.
It is really a horrible display of humanity.
No, it absolutely is. I mean, the only thing that I can think of at this point to do, and I would gladly have the two of you or one of you back on this show, either way, up to you, to discuss this further as the situation continues to be the situation, certainly, but you know, I want to offer a solution. I want to offer something that people can do, because here's the thing. We're talking about Flint, Michigan. We're talking about, yeah, a city, not the largest city in the country, not the shiny city that, you know, is the big money maker for a lot of people across the country or something like that at this moment. But still, an American city we're talking about here. This is not just Flint, Michigan, folks. And this is where I would like to get into what it is somebody could do to maybe not end up in this position, or to maybe discover that they're already in this type of situation. You know, for that, I guess I'll start with Mel and then go on over to Carrie. I mean, what is it that, you know, somebody sitting in Pennsylvania, in Oregon, in Texas, in Georgia, in Alabama, in Florida, in New Jersey, in, you know, Massachusetts. I mean, go anywhere you want, throw a dart at the map. Guess what? You could very well be in or near the very same city as Flint, Michigan, one way or another, because your infrastructures are not brand new. Your water treatment facilities are not necessarily disclosing everything to you. Your municipalities are not going to disclose things to you until they are forced, in most cases. Except you do get those water reports, which, again, Carrie said, you know, up until a couple of years ago, I probably threw them away. And so do most of you listening right now, you know, at least on this side of the pond. I mean, in the UK, it's a whole other issue. But this is still going on in America. And, you know, it's interesting to me when people want to talk about third world countries. When I was a kid, they used to tell me that one of the great things about being in America, this is, you know, when I was still being brainwashed in school, one of the great things about being in America was that we have the clean running water in every part of the country. And you know what? There's a lot of people across the planet who would be extremely jealous of it. You know, I'm not sure. I think in some cases I might feel better collecting rainwater, which is illegal in a lot of parts of this country, as opposed to trusting the people that apparently did what they did in Flint, Michigan. And I say again, you know, there might not be a car industry. Maybe you're in Pennsylvania. There was an oil. There was a steel industry. Maybe you're in, yeah, because Pennsylvania used to have a steel industry. Maybe you're in New York City. God knows what the hell is in that water. Maybe you're in New Jersey. I know about those chemicals. I could do whole hours, whole marathons on that if you want. Florida, it doesn't matter. All across the country, again, any state you pick, I guarantee you, you can find a Flint, Michigan, okay? And maybe it's not lead. Maybe it's arsenic. Maybe that's because that's another fun thing to find in your water. Maybe it's mercury. Maybe it's God knows what, and you won't know unless you know. So what is it that people could do, Mel?
Educate yourself. Test your water. Don't believe what is being told. Don't believe the main media that everything's okay. Do not be silenced. We have a voice. When you discover that yourself or your neighbor or somebody in your backyard is suffering from this, don't sit idly by. We have to do something about it, because if people don't, our government is not going to. That's something I just really, really have to push. They're not looking out for us. It's going to take the people to make a change. Because the government has had ample time to make a change, and they have not. They have just collected the funds, and you know, this situations like Flint or Cleveland or Detroit, they're happening all around us, and we need to unite. We need to raise our voices. We need to try and tell them, okay, you are our elected official. We put you in office. Now you need to make the changes that we need, because this is our lives.
Well, not only that, but the corporations, the corporate element which profits off of this entire process, also needs to be held accountable for what it is they do that affects people. And you know what? I'm not necessarily talking about lawsuits. I'm well beyond that. This is way past, you know, bringing somebody in to seek damages in a civil court. This stuff is criminal, man. And the fact is that if you are literally poisoning the water, okay, whether it is through negligence, ignorance, ineptitude, or, you know, a lack of vision, okay, it's really kind of irrelevant. It is still a criminal thing to do. And, you know, to me, I think that anybody who was involved in this process who knowingly allowed this situation to persist ought to be prosecuted and ought to be held accountable by their fellow citizens in every way, shape, and form. And before I say something a little bit outrageous, Carrie, your thoughts on this?
And you're exactly right. Anybody that had a hand in this, and this goes so way up, not just in the state, not just in the city, but in this country. And if we don't start standing as we the people, we are deeply, deeply screwed. There will be more Flints. There will be more people poisoned. It is not, as Mark Edwards said when he testified, it is not when, or it is not if it will happen. It is when Flint would happen. They've known for years Flint was coming. They didn't know where, but they knew there would be another one because of DC. The first thing you do to protect yourself, you call your township, your county, your village, whatever you belong to, is a step number one. Call your local water department. Tell them you want a test. You can have it. They should bring you a bottle. You may have to go get your own, but typically they will bring you a bottle. You let your water sit. This is the important part. At least 6 hours. You do not. Now, some states use this loophole, and this is where Flint and the MDEQ buried our lead problems for so long. They had people run their water 5 minutes, then shut the system down, then test it after 8 hours. The problem is, if you had lead in your home, you ran it out for 5 minutes and then tested clean water coming in the morning. That was loophole number one. Number two, they were also using very small mouth bottles, meaning you could not get a real high open flow on your tap without literally spraying your entire kitchen, bathroom, whatever you're testing. The bottles you're looking for, and this is to all people of this country and every country, they need to be at least an inch and a half at the opening. It has to be a wide mouth open bottle. You do not, under any circumstances, pre-flush. That's important. You shut your water down overnight. We have found taping the toilet handle with duct tape keeps people from flushing on accident at night because it happened a few times. Get up first thing in the morning. You're going to run that sample. Like I said, start at your township, your village, your city, wherever you're at. Depending on how that comes back. Now, if your lead is high, someone should call you. Should. Does not mean they will. Did not always happen here. If you're even edgy about those numbers, if you're right at 15 or 18 or even 12 and you're concerned, next step, call your state's DEQ. Michigan, it's the MDEQ, Michigan Department of Environmental Quality. I hope every state has a better one, but call your state DEQ, tell them you want to test your water. They should send you the process for testing and, again, the bottles to test it. They still need to be in the right format stated before. No pre-flushing, sit at least 6 hours. Run it first thing in the morning. It's the first thing you do. That's number one. If you still have issues or you're questioning or, say, like, for example, you get one out of, let's say, your township or city and you get a 15 out of your DEQ, I would immediately then contact the regional EPA for your area. That is the next step. Have them run a test. If you can afford outside testing, outstanding. I know Home Depot does free testing. I believe that's lead and copper only, but it's a start. All cities and states test lead and copper only. But a few things to look for if you're maybe having water trouble that we didn't know until, oh, we really knew. The skin rashes, cases of staph infections, hair falling out. people having breathing issues, getting out of the shower, or being in the shower. If anyone is experiencing those kinds of things, start testing your water immediately. Get your neighbors to test their water, as many as you can. That's where our success in Flint came. We got 300 people to test, and it proved it was citywide. But that's what it took. So the best thing to do, start testing at your local level. Keep going until you're satisfied. And then once you've hit the EPA level, I hope you get a hold of somebody really good like we did. Leanne was able to get a hold of Miguel Del Toro, who immediately got on the Flint lead problem. Almost cost him his job, but he did. So you kind of need a whistleblower, somebody that won't sit back and say, yeah, it's not so bad. So that's what I would recommend. Start at your local, get up to your state, and then go to your federal. If in the meantime you want to do one like through Home Depot, they are free testing. From my experience, they have been quite compatible with those that I trust, and that's not everybody I just listed. But that's where you start the testing at. That's the best way to get to answers, and this can take time. Unfortunately, it can take months.
Well, and here's the other thing, too.
But don't give up.
Yeah, here's the other thing, too, is that some people might be hearing this and saying, well, look, I'll just get some water filters, and you know what? I'm not going to worry about it because I've got my Berkey system or whatever name brand crap is out there, doomsday water thing. I'm fine because I got my filtration, so no worries, right?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. No.
Please,
go
ahead.
Most of the filtration systems remove your chlorine at the house. That's why I won't have one. I don't need that help. That's not good.
Well, I mean, do they...
And the filters for... Go ahead.
Oh, no, I want you to expound upon this. I want you to explain to people, because like I said, a lot of people are thinking to themselves, well, look, I've got my filter. I've got my my system here. I've got my Brita pitcher along with this thing on my faucet, and I'm fine, right? I know that's not right. I'm just throwing you a softball here. This is what I'm doing.
Right. Well, in the filters, they found through a study that was suddenly halted by the state of Michigan. I won't tell you why, but anyways, the filters they gave us to protect us from the lead, while they do seem to reduce lead. That's great. Unfortunately, they grow bacteria. So now you have a whole new problem. You're growing extra bacteria. You may not be getting the lead, but now you're getting extra bacteria. That's the sink filters. So if on top of that you have a whole house filter that removes your chlorine, you see where this is going? You have no chlorine to kill off the bacteria now coming through your kitchen or bathroom faucet. You're doomed. RO systems don't fix this. They also use approximately 1.5 times the water is what my research shows. We're back to paying $180 water bill. We can't add that on, and that's every month. That's not 3 months. That is monthly.
I was going to mention that. Actually, since all of this has happened, the community's water bills have doubled, if not tripled. You cannot drink
since
this water, but their water, but they have doubled and tripled these water bills. And if you don't pay them, that puts a lien on your home. And if you have a lien on your home, you lose your home. They can condemn your home. So, I mean, they are attacking this community in every way possible.
Well, and there you have it. I mean, look, bottom line here is that, hey, how about we'll give you slightly less toxic water for triple the price? Again, no responsibility. for the fact that you've been charged all along, and so is everybody else, while the entire system fell into disrepair, first of all. Second of all, while God knows what toxins were going by. I mean, I wonder, isn't there somebody who would be routinely testing for the – because here's the other question. Where's the routine person who should be testing for these things and maybe saying, you know, here's a red flag, folks. We should do something about this. What happened to that part of the system? Either one of you can answer that. Go ahead.
Most water departments, most, have techs on site that do indeed test the water for bacteria and lead and all kinds of cool stuff. Typically, that's what would happen. I know when DSW, Detroit Water Systems, switched over to GLEWA, they let most of their chemists go. The longtime chemists, like 50 years chemists, you know, the guys have been there forever and were working. When we called the city about the white crap just coming out of our water, we were sent a third-party company. Now, this confused me, so I asked, why is there a third-party company there? All of the lab techs for the Flint Water Department have quit. We don't have one. This was as of January the 4th when they got here.
Wow.
Well, so now the city has hired out a third-party company to do any water testing when weird things show up like what we had happen.
Yeah, well, see, that's the other thing I'm wondering about is this process, because, you know, the people that let this happen are effectively the same people that you've got to turn to get it to stop. I mean, I can't imagine a worse situation, though.
Well, these were actually new people. All the previous people had already quit.
Oh.
The person that's supposed to be running our plant just failed their test to actually run the plant. The week I was in California, somewhere around the 1st, it was announced, and will retake said test in spring. This is Flint, Michigan. This, and if you think it's only in Flint, Michigan, I'm begging you, that is not true. We have one of, like, an actual mandated water plant here that, okay, now they admit they knew it could never run. It was too outdated. They didn't have anything to put chlorine in. They didn't have a way to add orthophosphates to it when they put this thing up and running. We find that out now. We did not know that. They didn't even have the equipment on site until November of 15 for orthophosphates. It was not in the building. It had not even been purchased.
Well,
but this isn't just, you know, it's not exclusive. You have smaller communities that may only have to test every 2 years for lead and copper, not every year, or every 3 years. That's why people getting tested is so important. You may not be tested for 3 years, but if you find out you have lead, you may have had it for 3 years. That's too late. But it goes by size of the distribution center.
Well, and also I'm getting a note that another thing to consider here is that in some places the water filtration facilities are actually automated anyway. You don't have a lot of workers there to begin with, and who knows if there are techs being hired anywhere to check on any of this. You don't know unless you go try and find out. First of all, there could be people, empty jobs could be sitting there not being done at all, right? So am I right or wrong about that? Go ahead.
No, you're right. However, Flint is not an automated system. They took the Flint system offline 58 years ago, switched only to Detroit. They never made upgrades. They didn't do anything to it. They were told they needed like $400 million or $40 billion to make it runnable. They put $4 million in it, called it a day, and switched us. It's all out there. So this is not an updated plant. There's a new one that was built, I think, in Lapeer County that is almost all automated. That was not the case with Flint. This thing was shuttered then because it was not usable. They could not treat the Flint River, so they closed it down.
I'm being asked a question from a live listener, and I'd like to add it into the discussion. I don't know if either one of you knows the answer, but the question is, was there anyone who was responsible for distributing the money collected? Okay, let me reread this a second. Okay, I'm gonna rephrase your question. It's pretty simple. A lot of money is collected by the water companies, right? A lot of money is collected by the state for this purpose, let's just say, or the county or whatever. Obviously money was not put into this over the past decade to fix the problem. Until it was found out, until it was a big news story, until there was some attention, some light shone on the cockroaches, if you will. That's the way I put it anyway. Nobody did anything. Nobody scurried. Now, question is, all that money that was collected, is that accounted for? Is there some way to maybe audit that and take a look at where that money actually went to see what people were paying for all this time? If they weren't paying for water. Yeah, go ahead.
No, we weren't. It has been audited. We have found many places our money went, including the city periodically. They used our water fund as their only tax-based cash cow for the last 30 years. They took a $15 million lawsuit out of it. They would transfer money to the general fund when they needed it.
A $15 million lawsuit for what? Do we know what the lawsuit was about?
It was a sewer backup issue, but it should not have ever come out of the water fund because of the way it happened. It was supposed to come out of the general fund. They also had insurance. They took it, and this is how bad it is. The only way we found out this was because it wound up in court over our increases of water rates that have been deemed illegal, but we're still paying them, so figure that one out. When that came up in court, this lawsuit came up where the $15 million had been taken. This was in, I want to say, early 16, and after it came up in court, the current city council, in retrospect, went back and approved that $15 million being moved. It had been moved in 2009.
Oh, wait a minute. What they did is they retroactively approved taking the money from the water fund into the general fund for that purpose, even though this happened in 2000. What year did they do that?
They just approved it in 16.
Okay.
The money was moved in 09.
So literally 7 years, six to seven years later, they retroactively said, well, we would have approved that, so okay, here you go. And they moved money from that into the general fund anyway, which could go into what? Anything at all that the city has an expenditure for? So even the police force, let's just say, could be funded through the general fund, this kind of thing?
Yes. We have no police force, so it's not there either.
Well, that was going to be my next point. But, yeah, okay, I understand. So
there is very little actual tax base in Flint. So they have just dipped and dipped and dipped into the water fund until they depleted it. Then they started upping us illegally. Like I said, there are four increases. It has been ruled by a judge were illegal. That ruling came down in 15. Our current mayor is supposed to negotiate for that money to come back. No one's seen a penny. We're still paying those four increases that weren't illegal to go with the two that weren't. When you get into the history of the politics in Flint, corruption would be kind.
Well, this on top of Yeah, this on top of the fact that, you know, poisoning people, not a really big issue. You know, look, we've got it down to 1 right. in 10. What are you still complaining about? Go ahead, Mel. You were going to say something here?
If I'm not mistaken, it was, I believe it was also on MLive, that several million dollars was also taken from the water fund and given to the Department of Transportation.
Yes. Yep, you're right.
Yeah.
Sorry, the $15 million just sticks with me.
Yeah, I can imagine. I think it was. I thought. I mean, I know it was up quite up there in the millions, but yes, it's going towards everything except for what it should be being spent on.
Hmm. Right. And now we just passed a new city charter. Should have got into effect January 1st of 2018. It's Flint. It still has not completely into effect. But one of the things on the charter is no money can ever be taken from the water fund except for water running, fixing, and personnel only. Seems like you wouldn't have to have that clause, but in Flint, you need it.
Yeah, apparently. Apparently you do. Well, listen, we are almost out of time, and I'd like to give each of you an opportunity to, because toward the end of the show, this is what I always ask my guests, is what is it that you would like people to take away from tonight's discussion in a few sentences, you know, a paragraph or less, something like that. What is it that, say, somebody just encountered this show, had no idea about the topic or what it is we're really talking about until they heard this tonight? What is it that you'd like people to take away? And I guess I will start again with Carrie. What is it that that you would really like people to retain from this discussion tonight as a starter? As a way for them to begin to educate themselves better and defend themselves also. But altogether, I mean, what is it that you'd like people to take away, Carrie?
The biggest thing is do your testing, do your research. Don't throw those water reports away. I know they're boring. It is a nap and a folded sheet of paper. I get it. But start looking everything they're testing it with. Then compare that with EPA recommendations for the size of your city. It's all online, epa.gov, and they give the recommendations of treatments per size of community. That is the first thing. You have to, as I've learned, it's a lot in life. You have to educate yourself, but when it comes to water, because it is the most basic survivable need, you have to know. And it may not be exciting, but we covered in 6 months in Flint, and I mean we, a lot of us, through a lot of hard work and research, six-year degrees, seriously, in water maintenance and lead poisoning and how water flows from, you know, plants outwards. You have to be that informed. Maybe we shouldn't be. The second biggest thing to take away, please do not wait ever for your government officials to tell you you have a problem. If you think you have a problem, get right on it. Get started. Get looking into it. Start with the things like the rashes, the hair loss. And I don't mean a little hair loss. Vicky's lost a third of her hair since this started. So anytime you're having those issues, trouble breathing in your shower, get right on it. Get looking into it. Don't figure it's just me, or I have COPD, or I had asthma once when I was a kid. Don't assume anything. And just never forget, Flint is still here. We do still struggle.
No, absolutely. And
we still need help.
Absolutely. And that is the point of why it is I'm doing this, is that this should not be forgotten. And I hope that a great many people have learned something tonight about a few things. First of all, water, sure. But also, you know what? Whatever it is you don't pay attention to doesn't necessarily mean it disappeared. Okay, I just want you guys to understand that. And, you know, if you're relying on the mainstream or the alternative media to explain to you everything and keep you well informed, quite honestly, it's going to be the independents like myself who are going to take a look at things that, you know, simply aren't quite as hot, according to some of those others, a little later on down the line. Because you know what? Some of us actually care about other individuals, other human beings, our fellow men and women, whatever it is you want to say. And this is something that we should pay attention to at all times. It is one of those things that I think is incumbent upon us as a species, which is to collectively care for one another and certainly at all times care for ourselves and those around us on every level. But that's just me going over to Mel. You know, what is it that you would like people to take away, Mel?
I want to remind them that Flint is not fixed, that they still need help, that do not just simply believe what the media feeds you. Definitely test your own water. Fight. You have a voice. Please don't just sit back and think that your government or somebody else is going to take care of this. You need to do your part. Use your voice. Please come together. We have got to. It's our job to take care of our neighbors, take care of our brother. You know, it's about the people. Carrie basically covered everything else.
There you go.
Stay aware.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Look, I couldn't have said it better myself, and Carrie certainly covered a lot of ground. Once again, flintstock.org is a place to go, and also look for it on Facebook to try and get informed and involved here. There's probably other ways, but again, we caution you to try and reach out to people directly that are on the ground doing the work they're doing. Carrie, is there any place that people should try to get a hold of you if they wanted to help you directly or be in contact with you, or should
Absolutely.
We?
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
My Facebook is a great way to reach me. I respond to everybody because I get so many requests from home still. That's one way you can reach me direct is, you know, we're continuing to fight on the ground. If you're looking for an update or a way to help, either one. I know I've got people following me from as far away as Hawaii and Alaska. That I talk to quite often, just making them aware that, no, it really still is as bad as you kind of think it is. But, and my name is spelled K-E-R-I. Last name is W-E-B-B-E-R. And it's currently a picture of my dog on a red blanket.
And I misspelled her name on the template. I'll fix that later. But anyway, K-E-R-I and then Weber, W-E-B-B-E-R. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, I spelled it with an A. Sorry about that. But it is with an E, K-E-R-I, W-E-B-B-E-R on Facebook. And, of course, flintstock.org. I want to thank both of you for joining us tonight. We are out of time. But this subject is certainly not out of material that needs to be discussed and issues which need to be dealt with. Of course, the overall thing to take away as far as I'm concerned is when it comes to the essentials of life, it is essential that you yourself pay attention. Anyway, the Ocelli Effect is done. No matter who you are, where you are, I hope you're well. Remember, I am merely Ocelli. All of you who participate in this show, listen, and everything else are the effect. Have a good night.
This is a national emergency. Important instructions will follow.
Hey, this is the mouth leave here, and if you want to play a blind man, you can go walk. Hey, this is the mouth leave here, and if you want to play blind man, you can go walk with the shepherd, but as for me, my eyes are wide fucking open, because I listen to the Ocelli Effect on Ocelli.com, bitches.